Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 4th of January, recording at 8:36 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, I've still got a little bit of this lingering flu, so again, apologies for the nasal tones and what I hope won't be too much hacking, coughing. But here goes. First, this is a very dramatic day. I'm in here, and I'm still weighing the possible significance of it all. Now, I did have a couple of positional changes on the that are mentioned in comment of the day. So just very briefly, I did chop out my World Mining Trust position. I thought it was a little bit overextended in that sector, perhaps a little bit overweight in that sector, I should say. And elsewhere, let's see, I picked up a bit more silver on this decline, effectively doubling my position. Now, only this, see, those are mentioned in comment of the day. Now, only moments ago, I just was looking at Wall Street, which is down about 100 on the Dow, and looking at some of the short-term charts, and I could see, well, there were several small downside key day reversals yesterday and then follow through in here today. So those are short-term sell signals. I didn't short anything, but what I did do is sell my Nikkei stock average futures. Now that distresses me a wee bit. It had had a good day, it had an up day in Japan and looked fine on the charts, but with this weakness that we're seeing in here, it did make me feel a little bit concerned about it. And I didn't get that brilliant a price. It's more than 100 points off the high that we had seen yesterday, but I did get 11,410. I'm sorry you're going to hear some Hoover in the background. The cleaners are out there, and I can't shut it out any more than is currently the case, but I think it's more important that I push on and get this audio out, as it's likely to be a little bit longer than usual. Now, so the Nikkei's gone, but that's not mentioned in the comment of the day. I will put it in tomorrow. Now, what about the short-term sell signals that we have seen on Wall Street? We have not seen them on the European indices. We have not seen them on the Asian indices. What frightened Wall Street? Well, I think it was really the Fed's comments. Now, various different Fed governors, I think my count must have been about four of them, have been saying in recent days that they were concerned about inflationary pressures, and then the minutes came out and confirmed that. So this wasn't a, oh, shock, horror, could this have possibly happened type of situation, but it does suggest that Wall Street, against that short-term overbought condition, indeed many markets, most markets have been in a short-term overbought condition and just staying in that condition as the stock markets were so firm in most instances throughout the year-end period. Now, as I say, we do have a short-term sell signal here on those U.S. contracts, and this action doesn't necessarily completely foreshorten my script for this rally carrying potentially, well, my best case scenario, as I've said all along, is well into the first quarter of this year. But it does certainly indicate that we could well be seeing the beginning of at least a short-term correction in here. So I may well open a small short position in one of these U.S. contracts. Now, what else to say here? In terms of the important leaders that I've been looking at, Australia and New Zealand, they were up again today for additional new highs. Now, you know, they're looking somewhat overextended, but they have been very, very consistent. Now, this is, I don't want to shout fire when there isn't a fire, but this action, some of the action that we've seen in markets today, will certainly test the nerves of investors in those two countries. And I'm not just talking about New Zealanders and Australians, but there's a good chunk of the rest of the investment world, particularly from North America and Europe, who've been investing in those markets, and with good reason. They've been really, really top performers. Now, will people turn jumping and start to grab some profits tomorrow and Wednesday in those two markets? Or will they look at some of these developments today, such as a stronger dollar, will they look at that as the glass half full or the glass half empty? Well, the markets are overbought in the short term, so unless Wall Street erases most of this gain, it's currently down 82 on the Dow, 12 on the S&P, 40 on the NASDAQ, but you've got some pretty savvy technicians out there in the Antipodes, and I think they may well turn a bit cautious short term. So that needs to be watched. Now, other developments that occurred in here today, the UK stock market, for instance, broke up to a new high, closed quite strong at 48.47. I'm sure that a lot of technicians are now setting their sights on the 5,000 level, which is both some psychological and lateral resistance for the FTSE 100 index. And some of the positions that I hold and that I know that some of you hold, for instance, the J.P. Morgan Fleming India Trust just romped today. It was up almost 4.25%. I think it was up 6.25p on the day. The Aberdeen New Thai Fund had a good gain, although smaller in percentage terms. Considerably smaller, but a good gain here today. And those Asian markets still look really quite interesting to me, but if Wall Street gets any additional follow-through on the downside here this week, as it may well do given the signals that we've seen yesterday and today, that may well lead to some wider spread corrections. Okay, moving on elsewhere, the Treasury bond position. Those had staged a sort of vexatious, for me at any rate, rally that carried through yesterday, having had the upside failure on. And you, I know I've illustrated that, and you're probably familiar with this, or you certainly are if you're interested in the T-bonds. But they did not like that news coming out from the Fed. People are also citing factory figures, but that's growth statistics, I think it was on factory orders, came in slightly higher than people had been anticipating. But at any rate, the bonds, as I speak, are down 29.30 seconds here at 11.20 on the March contract. So if it closes at those levels, that would be a very small downward dynamic relative to the rally that we've seen over the last three market days or so. I remain short there, and I think this is going to be a bearish year for these bonds. Certainly if the Fed's going to be pushing interest rates higher, it will be so. And what else can I say now? Currencies, we had big action in here today. Quite a dramatic reversal here for the U.S. dollar against the euro. Now, the high on the day was up around 134.95, so, you know, about 1.6, 1.7 off the highs that we had seen just only a few days ago. And we've fallen as low as 132.49, currently 132.68. That's down 197. So that's quite a big move. That is a dynamic. And many people will regard that as a tradable signal. I don't want to appear on the fence on this. I think it is a tradable signal, but I really don't like counter trend trades very much. I'm not tempted by that. But certainly the dollar is stronger across the board. And when I've already said it, these are in the very short term, at any rate, quite possibly tradable signals. But as I say, I will resist that temptation. Now, just to give you a few others, for instance, dollar yen up nearly 2 yen, up 1.9, yen at 104.68. Sterling down 2.25 cents here against that's the cable quote. And my view on this, I mean, I posted the Laffer article, which you'll see on the comment of the day. But I'm sticking with last Friday's comments. I mean, we did get down to a support level. We certainly could anticipate further jawboning coming in from the ECB, and we did have some of that. But I actually think that the Laffer article probably did more to trigger that shakeout than perhaps anything else. My hunch is that we don't have too much upside for the dollar beyond the short term. But it can be choppy around these levels. As you know, we're back on the dollar index. We got back very, very close to that lateral support right around the 80 level. That chart was also posted yesterday, I think on a monthly, last Friday, on a monthly basis. Okay, now, metals. The LME metals were hit particularly hard in here today. We really did have some quite big declines, and prior to today's action, only tin, to my chagrin, my considerable chagrin, had been weak. But we had some very big hits in here. For instance, LME copper down 238 to 2,912. The tin, that shaved the tin, it was a smaller decline, but it was still certainly down 197,575. The nickel did pare the gains by about $500, but it was still down 675. Now, these are all in sort of broad, longer-term uptrends. I don't think that the supply and elasticity story has changed. But, you know, we've got a market environment here where the hedge funds... Well, there are a lot more hedge funds with a lot more capital, given the fashion for the sector in recent years, and they stampede in and out at the same time. So we certainly have seen a bit of a downdraft in here today. Now, previously, when that's happened in these metal markets, they rebounded quite quickly thereafter. It remains to be seen if that will be the case this time. I do feel that, and I have said over and over again, that these metals are best bought after shakeouts, but one wants to see the shakeout lose downward momentum, and it's too soon, just to go into these single-day downward dynamics, to say that that's enough to indicate another buy signal. So I'd be quite, I'm quite cautious here in this sector in the short term. Not the very long term. As far as the long term potential is concerned, a lot will depend in these metals. A lot will depend this year on what actually happens with GDP growth in both China and the United States. If you're a bull on GDP growth for those two countries, particularly China, then the metals are likely to see no more than a short or at most medium term correction within their long term uptrends. If you take the hard landing school on China, as people like Andy Z of Morgan Stanley, who's usually quite bearish, but has been saying for some time, then we could get some very considerable falls indeed in those metals. So, nervous conditions here, to put it mildly. Are they tradable signals? Well, in a sense, I'd have to say yes, but the moves are downwards are so big. And given the overall uptrends, I'm not keen on the idea myself. What else to mention? Oil has actually been stronger in here today. That hasn't helped sentiment on Wall Street. We have seen the crude rally back up to 43.72. Now, when we're on after hours trading, I'm just going to put the chart of that up here, because it was pretty good gains. So once again, crude oil has found support just above this $40 level in the United States, and it gained about $1.80 here on Monday's close. And I do maintain a view that crude oil down at $40 or so, that's probably pretty much the bottom of the range for oil. Now, that's a minority view at this stage, because as oil has seen this predictable medium-term correction, that has caused people to become much, much more bearish on their overall forecasts. So a rallying oil price is not helping sentiment in the stock market. And the natural gas, a little bit steadier in here, but really does need a change in weather in continental United States. It needs a cold snap, basically, to cause a wave of short covering. I think we're quite likely to see that sometime during January and February, if not also March. But until that occurs, this is a market that's looking, well, it's looking very bombed out and very oversold at this stage, but it needs a catalyst here to trigger short covering and long buying rally. Have a good evening.